Lips fluttered along my neck. Stay at LBC, no matter how this shit turns out? I can't make it without you.
Make what? I laughed. News?
He sounded drunk, but he looked sober, almost grim. My arms wrapped around him involuntarily. We sank into the hug and didn't come up for air for long minutes.
Sense, he said after a while.
A minute or three, or maybe more.
Very little makes sense when Chucks is not around. This is the part where I should say something romantic and profound, that you're my beginning, middle, and end. But I don't even know what that shit means. All I know is the very idea of moving to the other side of the country was enough to make me want to kidnap your ass. And not in the sweet, joking way. You're brave, sexy, and beautiful, and there's not one woman on this earth who can push my buttons like you.
Please say you're offering me the remote to make this super corny. I bit down on my smile. He rolled his eyes, thrusting his groin into my stomach.
Only if you agree on flipping channels. So what do you say we make it official?
This sounds a lot like a proposal, I snort laughed.
It is.
Then no, I answered seriously.
No?
He blinked as if I clearly didn't understand the meaning of the word.
Jesus, of course not. I want you on one knee, humbled and ringed.
Jesus.
First time you're calling me for the good stuff and you're going to refuse his proposal?
He rolled out of the bed, walked over to his duffel bag, and threw something into my hands. A new iPod box. I laughed, opening it. But instead of finding an iPod, I found a ring. A multicolored gemstone ring with yellow and blue, pink and silver, red and purple. It looked like a crown, and nothing like an engagement ring. Celian went down on one knee beside the bed, bowing his head.
Make me a happy bastard, Judith. You're the only one who can.
Not a question, but an order. And just like that, for the first time since we'd met, it wasn't difficult to be obedient.
Epilogue. Celian. 6 months later. You look delicious. Jude and I just got married in the art room of the Laurent Towers Hotel, in a ceremony that took us approximately 4 days to arrange. After the private proposal in Jude's bedroom, I went down on one knee in front of everyone in the newsroom, on the day Mattia stepped down from his position as the president of LBC, and gave her the real ring, the one that cost enough to buy two apartments like the one she'd lived in. That was 24 hours after the showdown with my parents in my office. The reason we didn't bother planning a wedding until this week was because we didn't care. We are together, out in the open. The world can fuck itself and jizz all over my new suit. I don't give a damn.
You don't look too bad yourself, Judith counters.
My bride has on my favorite white Chucks under her affordable, fuck-knows-where-she-got-it gown. For the past 2 hours, the DJ has played the Smiths and the Strokes and the Shins, and almost nobody has danced other than Grayson, Ava, Phoenix, Kate, and Delilah, Elijah, Jessica, Brianna, and us. When Phoenix said he was happy for me earlier today, I actually believed him. All his facial features are still untouched and untarnished, so that tells you all you need to know about our relationship these days. And earlier this week when Elijah, Phoenix, and James, yeah, no way in hell I'm going to call him the D-word, unless I'm referring to the thing inside my pants, insisted I have a bachelor party, I almost didn't scowl the entire way through it. Judith said she was proud of me for making an effort and being a good sport. I told her I needed to work on my cardio tonight, so she'd better fucking be a team player. You think I don't look bad? I cock an eyebrow at her.
Definitely handsome, but you can look even better.
I angled my head to the side, knowing where this is going. Do tell. She nods.
Naked, with your head between my thighs?
We didn't sign a prenup. My mother and Matthias did, and look how they ended up. There's something profoundly telling that committing to someone but covering your ass in case shit fails. Jude Humphrey is the only person I want to see every morning and kiss goodnight before I go to sleep. And admitting defeat when it comes to our marriage before it starts is not in the cards for me. The guest of honor, our lab pup, Charles Chuck Humphrey Laurent, is running between everyone's feet, barking and pulling at dresses. The warrior watched us earlier as we exchanged vows, and now we're on to cutting the cake. Our wedding cake is a giant red notebook, like Kipling, adorned with the words "Congratulations to Mr. Timberlake and Ms. Spears." Grayson's idea, naturally. I feed my bride a slice of cake the size of her entire face, and she giggles into the frosting. I take the opportunity to lean down and hiss, "Deep throat it, baby," so only she can hear, and her face turns scarlet, even under the layers of professional makeup. My mother sneaks up behind us and hugs us into a three-way embrace. Hardly the right time, seeing as I'm sporting some serious wood behind this giant Sour Patch Kids flavored cake, but what fucking ever.
"Thank you for inviting me,"
Maman gushes. Her ice water eyes glitter in different shades of blue. Before we know it, Rob sheepishly joins us in front of the cake, rubbing his daughter's arm, his smile so dazzlingly happy he looks like a dream. Mrs. Hawthorne stands behind him, looking down and worrying her lip. Jude turns around and motions for her to get closer.
"Anne, get your butt over here and join the hug."
I want to marry Chucks all over again for that huge heart of hers. Lonely my ass, she lets everyone in.
"Of course we invited you, Maman,"
I finally reply. "You are family." And I guess when it boils down to what matters, she is. After the revelation that James Townley is my father came out, Maman surprised me by announcing that she was staying in New York for the unforeseeable future to try to save what was left of her family, namely her son. She cut ties with her regular booty call in Florida and focused on reconstructing the board of LBC. We made some of the investors who were eager to kiss Matias's butt step down and give up their shares by threatening to come out with all the bullshit they'd done along the way, and I finally got my staff back. These days you can find ads for healthcare programs and gadgets on LBC, not a condom or casino in sight. For the past 6 months, Jude and I have been doing the whole family dinner thing with Maman, Robert, Mrs. Hawthorne, James Townley, and his plastic wife, Phoenix, and Ava, who, by the way, has started dating Phoenix, and Grayson. We take turns, a la come dine with me. So far, we agree that none of us knows how to cook, and when it comes to smack-talking about people's culinary abilities, I take the cake. And eat it. Saying it's weird to be a part of a family would be the understatement of the century, but we're trying to make it work. Especially now, when Robert is doing so well. His tumor is barely a few centimeters long, and doctors are predicting a full recovery. He recently moved in with Mrs. Hawthorne upstairs, so Jude and I took over his apartment. We're refurbishing it one meltdown at a time. Next month, we're going to Syria for a few weeks. Jude wants to help cover what's happening there, and I want to be with Jude. If you'd told me a year ago that I'd live in Brooklyn, I would have laughed. But if you'd told me a year ago I'd be desperately in love to a point of madness, I would have admitted you to the nearest mental health facility and thrown the key in the ocean. Yet both of those things have happened, and strangely enough, they didn't ruin my life. They saved it. James appears behind me and claps a hand over my shoulder, whispering into my ear, "Proud of you, son. Junior is one hell of a catch." I smirk, my eyes still focused on my bride, who is wearing the most ridiculous wedding gown. The hem of the dress is painted pale yellow, which makes it look like it was dipped in Chuck's piss. Jude says it reminds her of my post-it notes, the ones I keep on writing to her now so she'll never forget how I feel about her, even when I suck at saying the words out loud. "Call me your son one more time," I hiss at James, as I always do. "And I'll move you to the marketing department and have you cold call small businesses to convince them to place plumbing ads on LBC. He laughs. "Call us from the honeymoon. Only if you promise not to pick up," I banter. He squeezes my shoulder. Why does the gesture feel more real than any moment I ever shared with Matias? I look across the buzzing room, scanning for something to dampen the moment. I keep expecting to see him, even though he wasn't invited. But Matias hasn't been in the States for over 4 months, if the rumors are true. I never bother checking. Giving a fuck and worrying about people who are malicious robs you of your power and purpose. Otherwise, they wouldn't want to harm you. Coast is clear. I pick up my bride and carry her to the elevator, honeymoon style, essentially bailing on everyone else. Her arms are looped around my neck and she purrs as she says,
"I heard there are CCTV cameras everywhere in this place, so don't do anything stupid."
I lift my hand and give one camera the middle finger, still holding her, then kiss her so deeply and darkly she doesn't come up for air until the next morning. In the south of France. In my bed.
"I believe you just brought sexy back, Mr. Timberlake."
1 year later. Jude. "Pink Chucks, huh?" Celian smirks as he coils his arm in mine and we stride toward the elevators. He is on the 60th floor, the new president of LBC, and I'm on the 6th, an associate producer next to Blue. K Kate is the director of news now, a role she earned the hard way and fully deserves. Every evening, my husband picks me up from the newsroom, seals my grinning mouth with a hot kiss for everyone to see, and whisks me to the elevators, where we share all our thoughts and secrets. Because since day one, the elevator is where everything happens between us. Why break the habit now? The doors slide open and we get in. As soon as they slide shut, I wiggle my toes inside my chucks.
Let's make a Le Cocktail stop before we go home, Cillian suggests, already advancing toward me across the tiny space.
Sure, I could go for a roast beef sandwich, I say, as he corners me against the wall and hoists me up by my ass, wrapping my legs over his waist.
And a drink to go with your long day?
He bites down on my lower lip and tugs it inside his mouth. I groan into our kiss, grinding against him shamelessly. I've been needy lately. I'll stick to the food.
Good idea. I like you sober when I fuck you.
And when I'm pregnant, I add.
And when you're...
He continues the sentence, dipping his hand between my legs and shoving my panties to the side under my skirt. He stops and frowns.
Come again?
Pink chucks. I bite down on a smile, my eyes traveling to my stomach. His do the same. They flare a little, and then he squeezes my ass, seemingly for affirmation that he's still breathing. Good. We only talked about kids one time, just days after he proposed to me.
I don't think I'm much of a father figure, but if you want kids, we'll have kids, he'd told me. Hell, if you want rabies, we'll catch it together. Make a day of it.
I wanted to wait a bit longer before we became parents, and took my pill every day. But then I made a basic mistake this past winter and went on antibiotics to treat my sinus infection without using further protection. I'd been so busy with work and Cillian and Dad, I didn't even realize I'd missed 3 periods. When I finally bought the test, Ava made sure to hit me in the head with it before we opened it in the restroom of the 5th floor, it came back positive. I went to the OBGYN the same day. That day was yesterday. My husband is looking at me now with a look I've never seen on his face, a look of redemption and awe and hope. The fact that I put it there makes me want to break into a dance, sing at the top of my lungs, even though nobody in this zip code deserves such punishment.
I'm having a daughter?
He blinks. Technically, I'm having one, but I can settle for we. How would you feel about naming her Camille? He throws his head back and laughs, and it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. His blues are twinkling like stars in the dark, and he lowers me down, wraps his arms around me, and chuckles into my ear, sending hot, sweet air into it and making me shiver in pleasure. I can get used to this. I think I just did.
I love you, Judith Penelope Humphrey Wallet Thief Smith's fan.
I love you too, Cillian James Laurent one-night-stander cold-hearted bastard. In case you were wondering, we've already crossed off every item on the bucket list I'd made with Milton. Visit Africa, get assigned to the Middle East, watch the sunset in Key West, eat one perfect macaron in Paris. My heart is not lonely. It's full and happy and whole. Most of all, it is Cillian's.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Dirty Headlines. Written by LJ Shin. Performed by Jacob Morgan and Grace Grant. Executive producers Rena Ayer and Mike Charzik. Producer Chelsea Pita. Copyright 2018 by LJ Shin. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.